Hello and welcome to Radio Prague. I'm Dita Siedu and we start the program with a brief news bulletin. Czech President Václav Klaus has asked the Constitutional Court to determine whether the European Constitution complies with the Czech Constitution. Mr. Klaus has written a letter to the chairman of the court, Pavel Rychetský, asking whether the ratification of the EU Constitution should be preceded by amendments to the Czech Constitution. President Klaus has been opposed to the European Constitution, saying it limits the sovereignty of individual EU member states. The Constitution has also been criticized by the opposition Civic Democrats and the Communists. The opposition right-of-center Civic Democrats have asked Prime Minister Stanislav Gross to explain to Parliament where he got the money to buy a flat in Prague. The call comes after Czech media reports have been repeatedly questioning Mr. Gross's financial sources. When Mr. Gross recently disclosed his net income of the past few years, he included various allowances that were meant to cover expenses such as transport and meals. Software billionaire Bill Gates met with Czech President Václav Klaus for a friendly gathering at Prague Castle on Wednesday. Mr. Gates was visiting Prague to introduce the Euroscience Initiative to some 500 government representatives and public officials at the Government Leaders Forum. Under the Euroscience Initiative, Mr. Gates plans to speed up European innovation in the areas of science and information technology. The chairman of the Czech Senate, Přemysl Sobotka, has praised Slovakia for its tax reforms. Mr. Sobotka, who is currently on a two-day trip to Bratislava, said on Wednesday that Slovakia's bold step to introduce a uniform corporate and personal income tax rate of 19% is beginning to bear fruit. While the country is attracting ever more investors, the neighboring Czech Republic is gradually losing them. The Prague City Hall plans to double the amount of controls conducted to detect whether taxi drivers are violating regulations and ripping off their clients. Prague Mayor Pavel Bém said on Wednesday the number of controls should increase substantially to reach some 140 this month. Last month, Mr. Bém himself was ripped off by a taxi driver when, disguised as a tourist, he was asked to pay 6 times the normal rate. A foreign tourist who was seriously injured when a 25-meter-high Christmas tree toppled over at Prague's Old Town Square in 2003 is to be financially compensated by the city of Prague. The 54-year-old British tourist was left in a wheelchair after suffering fractures to both femurs and the spine. He is to be given €14,000 in compensation. According to Prague Mayor Pavel Bém, the sum is symbolic, as Prague City Hall did not bear responsibility for the accident. And a quick look at the weather. Meteorologists are forecasting less snow and more rain, with temperatures over the next few days expected to stay below the freezing point, with maximum daytime temperatures reaching -1°C. I'm Dita Siedu, and that's the end of the news.
You are tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Brian Kennedy. In today's program, his surname may mean freedom, but former Finance Minister Ivo Svoboda looks set to go to prison on corruption charges. He's the first ex-cabinet minister to do so. We explain why. On a more positive note, if you'll forgive the pun, Czech conductor Jiří Bělohlávek has been tapped to lead the world-renowned BBC Symphony Orchestra. Those stories, plus a special look at the history of the infamous communist-era secret police, and more, are coming up in just a moment. A Prague appeals court on Tuesday upheld a 5-year prison sentence imposed on the former finance minister Ivo Svoboda and his close aide Barbara Snopkova. Mr. Svoboda is the first former cabinet minister to be served a prison sentence since the fall of communism in 1989. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
When the former Prime Minister Miloš Zeman launched his Clean Hands anti-corruption drive, he could not have dreamed that one of the biggest fish who would get caught in the net would be the man whom he had handpicked for the post of Finance Minister. Ivo Svoboda and his close aide Barbara Snopkova were both found guilty of having unlawfully transferred 6.5 million crowns, that's almost $30,000, to their own private company from the now bankrupt baby carriage manufacturer Liberta while they were on its board of directors. Both looked tired and broken as they stood to hear the judge's sentence, and as they left the court, Snopková maintained that they were innocent of the charges against them.
Nejsme bohužel první v České republice, kde je odsouzena vláče neprávně. Zřejmě trestní senát v životě...
Barbora Snopková there proclaiming her innocence. However, neither of them are in a position to appeal the verdict, and barring health reasons, both will have to serve their 5-year prison sentences. Another former minister who must have watched the proceedings with some trepidation is the former health minister Maria Sočková. She too faces charges in connection with a dubious contract she signed while in office that cost taxpayers millions of crowns. If found guilty, the former health minister could face up to 10 years in prison. The news that even former top officials are not beyond the reach of justice has gone down well with the Czech public. But will it really help to improve the Czech Republic's image as a country with a very high corruption rate? A question I put to Michal Štička of the Czech branch of Transparency International.
In the short run, if public abroad, you know, reads in newspaper, ex-finance minister has been jailed for fraud, first that comes to your mind is, okay, you know, this country, you know, where ministers are people who commit fraud, well, this country, it cannot be good. That's why I think, you know, that in the short run, it may deteriorate the reputation of the Czech Republic. Whereas in the long run, for us, this case is beneficial because we know that we can rely on our judicial system, that it is able to imprison even high-rank officials, you know, who commit fraud and bribery.
Michal Štička of the Czech branch of Transparency International was speaking to our own Daniela Lazarová. Moving on, this Tuesday marked the 15th anniversary of the dissolution of the dreaded communist-era secret police, the Statní bezpečnost, or STB. Formed in 1948, the secret police soon became notorious for the cruelty of their interrogations. Methods became a bit less severe after the 1950s, but the STB still kept tens of thousands under surveillance, and in the 1980s had some 75,000 informers on their payroll. Earlier, we spoke to former senator and presidential candidate Jaroslava Masarova, whose father was kept in solitary confinement by the STB for 12 long months.
He suffered mainly from cold and hunger, in winter, of course, mainly. Though he was a rather tough man, he said that sometimes he really did cry, which is, for me, unbelievable, knowing my father. He was not allowed to sit on the bunk, use the blanket during the day. He could only sit or stand. He was, strangely enough, looking forward to interrogation because that was a break, that was something. Something was going on. The loneliness, the solitude. Confinement was somehow interrupted.
There have been reports in the Czech press this week that around 1,100 former members of the STB are still working for the Interior Ministry. The ministry does not dispute this figure, but says there is no cause for concern. Here's spokeswoman Radka Kovářová.
Toto číslo 1,100 bývalých příslušníků STB je skutečně reálné.
That number, 1,100 former STB members, is actually correct. I can also tell you that there are 870 former STB officers working in the Czech Republic's police. But I should point out that at the beginning of the 1990s, a special commission screened all of them to see whether they could remain in the police force.
For her part, Jaroslava Masarová believes that the figure of 1,100 may actually be misleading. She says Czechs should be more worried about ex-STB officers who now hold important posts in civilian life.
I'm not sure whether they are really former STB men or former Ministry of Interior men, because some of the STB people were just chauffeurs or whatever. I think that one should be concerned about the STB people being everywhere, because they have a tendency to stick together. I don't worry so much about the Ministry of Interior. I worry about some municipalities. They do have a tendency to stick together.
Like in East Germany, for instance, Czechs did not get the opportunity to read their own secret police files soon after the collapse of the communist regime. In fact, they had to wait until 1996. So did Jaroslava Moserova herself take advantage of the opportunity when it did finally come?
I must confess that I never went to look at my file, at the file the STB kept for me personally, because I was a fatalist. I find some people whom I believe to be friends contributing to the file, if you know what I mean.
Former Senator Jaroslava Moserova was speaking about her father's experience under the STB. Now, any film student or film lover knows that something very special indeed happened in the Czech film world during the 1960s. Unforgettable directors of the Czech New Wave like Chytilová, Forman, Němec, Menzel, and many others emerged at that time, creating the very best works and some of the best film history. Kate Brett has more on a comprehensive new book which covers the details of this period in Czech film.
The Czech's sizable contribution to world cinema is indisputable. The first silent movies were made here in 1898, and the world-famous Barrandov Studios, still used today, opened in the 1930s. But there's little doubt that Czech cinema reached its highest and most interesting point in the 1960s. Many important Czech films were made at this time, like Miloš Forman's Black Peter or Věra Chytilová's Daisies, which would later influence filmmakers around the world. A new book, with text in both Czech and English, has been put together by the National Film Archive. It's the fourth in a series on Czech feature film and deals with the period between 1961 and 1970. Vladimír Opěla of the National Film Archive talks about the process of putting the book together.
Everything what is in the book is evaluated through seeing film. We see first film, after this we start work. We try to identify every person which is in the cast, not only this main figure, but the last actors which are in the film. We try and recognize in which location this film was made.
Život je jak těsná ulita. Jo, zeptejte se šnečka.
The book not only includes details about the cast and film locations, but interesting written material, like actual scripts, synopses, and censors cards. It's also got rarely seen promotional material, stills, movie posters, and awards. Opěla talks about the use of colored stills in the book. It was challenging, but important for particular films like That Cat, directed by Wojtek Jasny. It's the story of a cat who comes to a village with a pair of magical glasses that instantly allow him to see the color of people's characters.
For example, people which were fall in love were red. People which were something like informers were yellow and so on. And we tried to put to the color appendix three or four stills of these characters. It was very difficult, tricky work. Immediately when this cat saw somebody, he changed to his real character. And we try to put it to the book too. There are three or four stills which show this interesting trick.
Mr. Opěla also talked about the role of the politics of the decade in the creation of these important films.
And in this fight with Stalinist and this old structure of party was created very interesting space for culture. And filmmakers, but not only filmmakers, but theaters and music used this possibility. And it was topical era, not only in filmmakers, but I think in the whole area of Czech life in this time.
Chodili spolu z čisté lásky a sedmnáct jim bylo.
And our thanks to Kate Brett for that report. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, the BBC Symphony Orchestra is one of the world's great orchestras, and it has announced the name of its new chief conductor. It's Jiří Bělohlávek, one of the most acclaimed Czech conductors, who is set to replace the American Leonard Slatkin at the helm of the orchestra next year. Pavla Horáková reports.
Jiří Bělohlávek conducting the Czech Philharmonic. The 58-year-old is no newcomer to the BBC Symphony Orchestra, as he was its principal guest conductor between 1995 and 2000. Founder and music director of the Prague Philharmonia, Jiří Bělohlávek studied at the Prague Conservatory and the Academy of Arts. He appears regularly with major orchestras around the world. Between 1977 and 1989, Jiří Bělohlávek was chief conductor of the Prague Symphony, and in the early 90s, he stood at the helm of the Czech Philharmonic, the culmination of 9 years of cooperation with the orchestra. Eva Sedláková is the Philharmonic's managing director.
Mr. Bělohlávek is, of course, the leading, I would say, maybe the best world-known Czech conductor at the moment, so he is a fantastic conductor. He comes to the orchestra quite often as a regular conductor. It was last week he was here, and we didn't know that he would be appointed as a chief conductor of the BBC Symphony Orchestra. So last time he was here last week, and he conducted Beethoven Symphony No. 2 and the Requiem by Milan Slavický, which was the world premiere.
Jiří Bělohlávek is one of the world's most respected conductors in the concert hall and in the opera house, and his wide repertoire is illustrated by a rich and varied discography. In the 1990s, he made 19 recordings of Czech classics for Chandos Records, as well as the complete works of Johannes Brahms. Jiří Bělohlávek is known as a great exponent of classical and romantic works, in particular Czech music. Eva Sedláková is delighted at the latest news.
Just congratulations. It's fantastic news. I read it this morning in Subway, but our congratulations.
Jiří Bělohlávek will take up the position of chief conductor officially at the first night of the Proms 2006 and becomes chief conductor designate until then.
And our thanks to Pavla Horáková and congratulations to Jiří Bělohlávek, the new chief conductor of the BBC Symphony Orchestra. Well, it's now time on Radio Prague for Czechs Today. This week, our own Colleen O'Connor profiles the Prime Minister, Stanislav Gross.
Kdybych tady teď rozdal lístečky a dal vám do ruky tušku a chtěl po vás, abyste mi napsali jména všech 70 poslanců sociální demokracie, tak bych byl velmi zvědavý na to, na kolik jmen byste si vzpomněli.
The sound of Czech Prime Minister Stanislav Gross addressing a meeting of his Social Democrat Party. Born in Prague in 1969, Mr. Gross trained briefly as a train driver before entering politics in the early 1990s. Since then, his career has been nothing short of meteoric, culminating in his becoming the country's youngest ever prime minister last year at just 34 years of age. Political scientist Dr. Jiří Pehe has monitored the development of Mr. Gross's career and is not surprised at his phenomenal success.
I would describe Stanislav Gross as a political animal. I think that Stanislav Gross is someone who has a great talent for politics. I think that he has been successful mainly because of his great communication skills. He is a very, very able communicator who is able to deal with the journalists, media in general, and he is certainly someone who can communicate with his colleagues in his own party.
Stanislav Gross first made his mark in politics when he was elected chairman of the Young Social Democrats in 1990. He subsequently became a Social Democrat member of the Czech Parliament in 1992. His cherubic looks and much-vaunted communication skills made him stand out from his parliamentary colleagues and saw his popularity ratings soar. He soon became known as the Crown Prince of the Social Democrats and was appointed to a number of senior posts within the party before becoming Minister of the Interior at just 30 years of age. Despite a stunning rise through the ranks of the Social Democrat Party, Stanislav Gross is not without his critics. The journalist and political commentator Jan Urban thinks that Mr. Gross's undoubted skills as a politician are undermined by a lack of clear political convictions.
He has spent all his life in politics. He can pretend to be the right winger or the left winger according to the audience he's meeting with or talking to. He is very skilled inside the party bargaining, he can accommodate and promise any group anything just to get their support.
Mr. Urban feels that even after more than a decade in the public eye, the Czech electorate are none the wiser as to where Stanislav Gross actually stands on a number of issues.
He has never learned, thanks to the quality, or low quality, better to say, of Czech politics, that political life has its moral and long-term features, as well as those of manipulation, good media skills, and entertainment qualities or bargaining qualities. He hasn't learned that you have to be flexible in politics, but you have to stand for some principles.
Jiří Peha acknowledges that Mr. Gross does not always present a clear outline of his policies and programs for government.
Because he entered politics so young, he has learned very well what I would call the technology of power. He's a true master in this area, but at the same time, he sometimes, in my opinion, puts the technology of power too high on his list of priorities and doesn't always concern himself with things such as contents of his policies and things that have to do with perhaps moral principles.
An angry crowd demonstrating last year over Mr. Gross's appointment of Pavel Pšibil as head of the office of the government. It transpired that during the communist era, Mr. Pšibil had been in charge of a police unit which had beaten up pro-democracy demonstrators in 1989. Mr. Pšibil subsequently resigned, and the whole affair was a major embarrassment to Mr. Gross just a few weeks after becoming prime minister. It wasn't the first time Mr. Gross had made a controversial appointment to a senior position in government. Eyebrows were raised during his time as Minister of the Interior when he made a former communist prison guard chairman of the Social Democrat Party deputies group. Jiří Peha admits that such incidents do cast doubt on judgment.
He is really not very good at choosing right people to surround himself with. Partly this may be caused by the fact that Mr. was very, very young when the communist regime ended, and he does not have the same kind of sensibilities that some older people have about who is who and whom he should not associate himself with.
Since becoming Prime Minister, Stanislav Gross has also been hampered by deep divisions within his party, which is split over how to clearly define its Social Democrat programme. Mr. Gross finds himself at odds with traditionalist elements in his party, opposed to his tentative plans to overhaul the Czech Republic's rather unwieldy social security system. Unfortunately for Mr. Gross, his government's slender one-seat majority in Parliament means that he cannot take a strong stance against his party opponents, as he needs their votes to stay in power. As a result, he has been performing a hazardous juggling act between the opposing factions within his party. This has naturally sent a mixed signal out to voters, and the party performed disastrously in Senate and local council elections last year. Mr. Gross has also been damaged by revelations about his time as Interior Minister, when he is alleged to have set up an illegal police unit to spy on political opponents. Another scandal over the murky origin of the money he used to buy his luxury apartment in Prague has further undermined his credibility among Czech voters. Opinion polls indicate that the right-wing Civic Democrat Party, galvanised by 8 years in opposition, are now surging ahead of Mr. Gross's Social Democrats. He has also seen some of his party's supporters switch allegiance to the Communist Party as a result of fears that he might seek to reform the welfare state. All of this seems to suggest that Mr. Gross could suffer a humiliating defeat at the next general election. Jiří Peha thinks that even if this were to happen, it need not spell the end of Stanislav Gross's political career.
I think that in some ways a defeat in the next election would be good for Mr. Gross, because it would make it easier for him to deal with the opposition in his party. There's a group of people in the party, and they have caused a lot of damage to this party by basically sabotaging their own government and creating conflicts all the time. Mr. Gross is not able to deal with them effectively when the party is in power, because he needs them. He needs their support in the parliament and so on. So obviously, if he wants to purge the party, if he wants to get rid of such people, being in the opposition would be good for him in some ways. There is, however, a question whether a resounding defeat in the elections would not be his end as well, because it could be used against him, of course.
Jan Urban is not so sure that Stanislav Gross can survive a heavy election defeat, but does think it could be a defining moment in what has so far been a spectacular career.
I'm curious to wait to see how he responds. So far he has never lost. He doesn't have the guts to stand firm and to go through this valley of death to reform the party. He is escapee. He never fights real fights. He always runs away from a fight. And I don't see him as a savior of the party. Nevertheless, his main quality for continuing is that the social democracy in the Czech context doesn't have anybody else.
Czechs Today was written and presented by Colin O'Connor. The subject was the current Prime Minister, Stanislav Gross. And that's just about all the time we have today on Radio Prague. For me, Brian Kennedy, thanks for listening. We leave you now with a selection by Michal David, by the way, one of the Prime Minister's favorite recording artists.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, onde courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9880, 11600. 17h30, 17h57. Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710. 19h30, 19h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27, Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.